Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 164 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the year of our Lord, 2022. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to call it, what would we call after COVID? AC.
Year one. Attack on Titan.
I've had to sign up to some Crunchyroll $7.99 a month app.
Right.
To watch it, because my daughter's into this anime stuff. So I've watched like 100 episodes of it over lockdown.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
But it's released in Japan, but it's released here at the same time, simulcast.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. It's good, you should watch it. It's hideous, horrible, but lovely.
Right, okay. Yeah, you're selling it.
Like giants that eat people.
Lovely. Yeah.
And people have no chance of fighting. Anyway, it's good. Attack on Titan, watch it if you get a chance.
Okay, right, thank you.
That's where I've got to go.
Yep.
Because I've paid all this money now to simulcast, and I've got to be there, haven't I?
Yeah. All right, fair enough, yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Paul?
So today's main topic is Wood Elves. Wood Elf Army Review Revolution Edition.
Bastards.
Yeah, I mean, it has to come around, and here it is. We are going to be talking about it. But I do, as well as our usual format, I do have quite a few points from both Facebook and WhatsApp about for us to answer on the Wood Elves. So that's quite cool.
Right, good luck with that.
Can I just say
I don't like Wood Elves, and we left them last for a reason.
Yeah. You can say that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not the world's greatest expert on Wood Elves. That's probably Janna's.
I've played against them. I've used them, and I've played against them. So, yeah, I've got some opinions.
And he certainly had no trouble winning games with them. Let me tell you that.
No.
He wins with anything, to be fair. But...
Yeah. Exactly. It's like he's no benchmark. He's no like thing to measure things against. Is there? Is he really? It's like, what's the point?
Not really. Mm-hmm. No, it's like measuring how sharp is a sword. Well, it's sharp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sharp. How sharp is it? Very sharp. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but it's cool.
What have you got to say before? Because we've got to keep this bit a little bit quick, because we've only got an hour and a half.
Christ, yeah. Hang on.
But not the events. The events are later.
Yeah. The events are later. Okay, we'll get to that bit. Yeah, then... I can go straight into the episode, like straight into the topic for this.
Right, let's see if we can get.
But we do have some promotion. We must do
promotion.
Well, as in promotion on behalf of another, because we promised we would.
Oh, you mean yeah, of an event?
Yeah, an event. Yeah.
Of course. Full screen. Here we go. Let's see if we can get this screen shared up. Mm-hmm. Event sharing options. Whatever. Screen share. This one here. We don't need sound, I don't think. So can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that we're going into the Wood Elves. And there's going to be some fluff about Wood Elf-y type stuff.
Some fluff. Okay, Wood Elves. Elves first settled in the Forest of Lorien, long before the civilized realms of men came into being in the Old World. During the great period of war between the elves and the dwarves, known as the War of the Beard, the first elven settlers, Lorien, sought to protect this beautiful forest realm from the ravages of the dwarves, who would have felled the mighty trees to fuel their furnaces and provide timber to build their war machines. After many years of fighting, the War of the Beard finally ended with the dwarves retreating to their mountain halls and the elven colonists abandoning Old World to protect their homeland of Ulthuan. However, not all the elves returned home with their armies and ships. Some could not bear to leave their newly founded homes, whilst others were unwilling to return to their decadence and intrigue of the noble courts of their homeland. Whatever their reasons, the small number of elven settlers remained in the Old World, and without the Phoenix King's armies to protect them, they soon took refuge in the Guardians of Lorien, which made their forest their new home. The descendants of these first colonists are the race of Wood Elves, and they continue to protect their forest home to this very day. It is safe to say that Wood Elves are not the most active campaigners in the Warhammer world. Rather than the vast majority of their battles are fought in the defence of Lorien, a cause for which they are dedicated with single-minded determination. Due mainly to their small numbers, the Wood Elves prefer to deal with the enemies using deception and guile rather than attacking head-on. Death through traps, ambushes, and the unseen arrow all await the unwary intruder into the enchanted forest kingdom of the Wood Elves. Indeed, a large Wood Elf host will only ever assemble to fight in an open pitch battle under the direst of circumstances, more often to repel a determined invading army. In such times as these, the Wood Elf warriors will fall upon their enemies with all the savagery of the Wild Hunt, slaying all those who seek to despoil their beloved forest. Often all that remains of the invaders are several large cairns, beneath which lie the bodies of fallen enemies. These serve as grim warnings to all who trespass beyond the boundary stones marking the edge of the realm. You are not welcome here. Death awaits.
Bastards.
Sounds like Westminster.
Bastards. It's the UK, isn't it? It's the border of the UK. Do not come in here. Death or awaits.
Or Australia right now for Novak Djokovic.
What a guy. What a guy. And we're not going there. We're definitely not going there. I brought it up. I mentioned it once. I think we got away with it. We're not mentioning it anymore.
Yeah.
The Germans thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. So, the fluff of the Wood Elves is so Tolkien, isn't it? It's just like, but never mind. You can't blame GW for not being original.
Well, so we're talking about the Tolkien Hobbit Wood Elves.
Mirkwood Elves. It's like, what is this? Like, it's like, this is basic. Like, so elves who live in forests who don't like dwarves. What more do you want?
The War of the Beard as well. It's like, whatever. Those dwarves fight everybody, though. Those dwarves, they're angry little buggers, aren't they?
When they feel affronted, yeah. Yeah, so angry, I mean, and also the War of the Beard is just one name of that war. It's like, as in the fluff goes. It's quite, it's like basically the elves and the dwarves have a dispute, and the elves shave the beard off the dwarf ambassador and send him back. And it's like, to a dwarf, like, to have your beard shaved off is like, you just cut my nuts off, mate. Did not go down well. Did not go down well.
Did it. Many lives were lost over that beard.
Yes, exactly. Can't be having that. Yeah. But also, they're not naturally going to get along because, fantasy races, dwarves being short, stout, what they are, elves being tall, haughty, what they are, they're just polar opposites. They're never going to get along.
So one thing you must say, and there's no criticism of anybody involved because this has taken quite a while to get to where it was, and it's gone through various iterations, and we're always conscious about not doing anything to invalidate people's collections. Yeah. But this is a bloated ass list, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at the size of it. When you compare it to the high elf list, it's like, holy moly.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny it. It's like, and it was, anyone listening to this, listening to our original, go over Wood Elves, it's like, we're end up, saying similar stuff again. I mean, it was the hardest to get on paper.
And, seriously, High Elves, who are the other, real Elves, because Dark Elves, they're kind of like, they've got some idiosyncrasies that make them slightly different. But your stereotypical Elf list is High Elves.
Yeah.
Has two infantry entries.
Yeah.
This has six.
Yes, it does. Yeah, six. Yeah.
It's like, holy moly. I know one of them's like an attachment, effectively. Yeah. So it's not it's not really, really. So there's five and an attachment. But it's like, in the same way, if people went back and now we're doing high elves, you'd end up with white lions and.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shadow warriors and fucking. What were the other dragon princes? Were they dragon princes?
Dragon princes, sword masters of Hoeth, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, flying lion chariots, all kinds of shit. But flying boats.
Flying boats. Lothan sea boats or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well, I've often thought that the Sea Guard would probably be the most interesting element to bring to the High Elf list. Because the Sea Guard were combined arms. Like, you could actually use the combined arms rule from, is it medieval or ancient?
Yeah.
Because that's effectively what they were.
Yeah. I mean, it's a spearman with a bow. Yeah.
But they weren't two units. It was one unit that had kind of both.
Oh, yeah. And in Warhammer, they were bonkers good. Because they could do it all, couldn't they? You could have this huge block in Warhammer. You could have this huge block of Lothan Sea Guard, fire their bows, do a lot. Then the enemy charged them. They attack them first because they're elves.
Because we're elves.
Yeah, oh, no, they stood and fired first, didn't they? Then they've done a lot. Then they get to attack first because they're elves, did a lot. Yeah, like, and they take more because they've got spears, you know, like more ranks, did a lot. Did a lot. Like, and it's like,
and then it's, there might be a few models left to try, like, and attack.
What's left to you? Right, well, unless I've just beat you by loads. So unless you're unbreakable, you're running now. Yeah, like, it's just
good old elves.
Yeah. But there we go. Stop.
Anyway, we're not talking about the science. It's just interesting that when you look at the list, it kind of hits you when you're used to reading normal lists. This is a big ass list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what have we got going on in the army rules?
Okay, but before deploying the Wood Elf, player may decide to place one additional piece of wooded terrain instead of fielding one of his War Dancer units, assuming he has one in his list. The additional wood must be placed so that at least part of it lies in the Wood Elf deployment zone, and it cannot be placed closer than 12 centimeters to any other wooded terrain, any other terrain feature, except for road or hill. The size of any single additional wood piece cannot have any dimensions larger than 16 centimeters, and in this way the player can field one additional wood per 1,000 points. However, the wood cannot be placed if that would bring the total number of woods on the Wood Elf player's half the table over 4. And woodland folk, due to living among the forest and Lorien of all Wood Elf infantry, does not suffer the -1 command penalty when living within woodland. Which makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it makes sense. Like, I mean, I have heard beastmen claim the same. That they should maybe, as they live in the do they really live in the woods?
Do they really? Where do they really live? Like, what are they? Yeah,
wherever they lay the
Balls, like, they tend to make like clearings, don't they? You know, like these suckers live up trees. You know, like, so.
They are. I mean, some of them are trees.
Some of them are trees. It's like, oh no, can't be going to be difficult to order my tree in this field of trees.
That I can talk to.
Yeah.
So, the free forest thing, they still managed to keep it, and I think Beastmen lost it, didn't they? Because they never had. No, I think they did.
No.
Oh, I think they did. I think they did.
Oh.
I think they did.
Depths
of time. Yeah. I mean, in an ideal world, in a tournament environment, you'd want rid of this, but I mean, this is the best we could do.
Yeah, so and in tournaments that I run, like, this extra wood thing can't happen, you know, because it's fine. The list has been written, I guess, in a environment where it's assumed you're playing a regular game, like a pitch battle game. Then I suppose, why not? You know, like, they are wood elves. It kind of makes sense to have some woods on the table. And if there are no woods on the table, this is a way to create woods. So I do get that. But they're the only army that does this kind of uniqueness with scenery. And when you play a tournament that has scenarios in it and zones, like, as in, like, got to catch that objective, you've got to be here, you've got to do this thing, woods, placing of woods does not, like, help with that, because it, you know, it just makes it way too awkward and imbalanced in that sense. And, like, and there are some of the questions, like, fielded to us, like, you know, about wood elves, like, are exactly about this thing.
Yeah, of course they are, because, like, you're playing against Bretonians or somebody cavalry based, massive cavalry army.
Yeah.
Your scenario says that the objectives have to be placed out of the woods, out of terrain. So you place them out of terrain, then you put the pissing wood on it in your deployment.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you move the wood over
it. Or you move the wood to it. Like,
whatever. Silly wood elves.
Yeah, so basically, it's the very simplest fix in a tournament pack, just to say, you can't do that. You can't, but you can take war dancers. Like,
they've got a role. I mean, they've got a decent role.
And they haven't had points there, as in added on points to reflect this thing. It's like, it's just something, because you're taken off the table if you can do it. So they're like,
no, but I think originally they weren't a skirmish unit. They were another full unit of infantry.
Were they?
But, yeah. Well, another three stands. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, but let's start at the top. Glade Guard. They're a mirror of the High Elf archers, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Or do High Elf archers have 6 armor? No, High Elf archers have 6 up armor, don't they? Yeah, they have 6 up armor.
Oh, right. These guys, 10 points cheaper then.
They are. Yeah, these guys don't have any armor. You've got to take 2 of them. You can maximum of 4. They've got the special woodland rule. So, yeah, you're going to have 4.
And they've got the hitting on threes rule.
Nope. Well, yes, they do. Gleygar, yeah. So wood elves are just famed for their bow is the much the high of cousins, and as such, Gleygar units add +1 to their shooting roll when making shooting attacks, and therefore they normally score a hit against their targets in the open on the 3+ against defended 4 and fortified 5. Yeah, which is fair enough. Yeah, so
that's fair enough. I mean, the difference between 6-up armor and no armor is kind of minimal anyway. So maybe it's better not having armor and saving the 10 points and having some more points to spend elsewhere. Because they're not going to survive a fight anyway, are they? A melee fight.
No. There's a lot to be said to that. As in, like, that's who they are. That's I mean, that's fair enough. Like, yeah, I don't have any issues with that kind of unit. We move on to Eternal Guard, which are your medium infantry.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about them. Yeah, nope. 3-3-5 for 60 points. That's who they are. So you don't have to take any, but you can take a maximum of 3. And I do quite like in this list that there are some quite hard maximums on even a generic unit like that, because there ain't that many wood elves. Yeah, like, so
where would they get all the Eternal Guard from? There wouldn't be that many of them, would there?
No, there wouldn't be, no.
Okay, War Danceries.
So, infantry. With 4 attacks, 3 hits, 0 or 5 armor, depending on which, and they're a single stand, and they are 30, and they are 30 points, and they have this War Dancer rule, which is number 2.
Empire skirmishers, is what they are.
Never fires independent unit. You add them to a unit, just like Empire skirmishers, and they reflect the armor save of the unit they're attached to. So obviously, you attach them to Eternal Guard, and they can remove just casualties. You know, and not drop to that -1 command penalty, and they can be out of formation, and it won't affect that either. So, like, the same rules as Empire skirmishers.
So one interesting thing that people did with the Empire skirmishers now in the Revolution is you put them 4 units in column and have the skirmishers at the front.
Yeah, which looks right, yeah.
Yeah, because then you've got 12 wounds per line, which is quite a lot of wounds.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot.
And 4 attacks on the front of each line.
Yep.
That's quite meaty. That's quite
meaty. Yeah, exactly. The difference there is that halberdiers for skirmishers are 5-6-up armor, while these can be in Eternal Guard, which are 5-up armor. And the armor there doesn't really reflect, like, I guess it wouldn't reflect heavy armor, it just reflects very good fighting skills. It gets them out of the way of, like, blows and stuff. So it's like, that's what it can reflect.
Do they have shields, these fellows? Because I'm pretty sure the halberdiers have nothing, just some bare feet.
No, halberdiers, they got nothing. They got nothing going on. Yeah, like, it's cool. But it's probably you could have done War Dancers as some kind of melee unit, couldn't you, in their own right?
I'm pretty sure they were.
Yeah, well, yeah, anyway, this is what they are right now.
Okay.
Now, Way Watchers, here we go. Right. One melee attack, 2 shooting attacks, that's a bit random, 3 hits, no armor, only 2 stands in a unit at 60 points. Minimum,
Where did we get this 2 stand thing from? Where did that come from?
I'm not sure. Minimum of 0 and maximum of 1. And they have this rule. Right. Famous for their bow skills, even from Wood Elf standards, Waywatchers shoot an enemy with terrifying accuracy. They add +1 to their dice roll when making shooting attacks, all right? But they also, they're a -1 armor value for the enemy. Boom. Have that arrow in the eye. Then they also have ambush, which is the same set of rules that Skaven Gutter Runners have, which is, they can infiltrate onto the battlefield. You don't have to set them up. You need to give an order to do that off. And, I won't go into it today because there's a lot of text to read.
You can read that at your leisure.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about this is you've got 4 attacks hitting on 3s
attacks,
with -1 armor coming up in terrain behind your shit.
Yes, theoretically, yeah.
Well, it's not that hard to pull off, is it? I mean, I'm a bit more worried about a unit of these than I am a unit of gutter runners coming up in the back, because these guys will soon mow you down if it's artillery.
The thing is, for these to be effective, you need one order, the initial order, and they can be set up then in that dense terrain, and they can be seeing out of it, and that's totally legit. Gutter runners could still, if they were close enough, could throw their 3 shooting attacks, but they need a second order really to charge. And with Skaven, that ain't going to be a second order, because what Skaven character is going to be out there within 20 centimeters, as far as they can order, going to order these things in? While Waywatchers, like, you can, it's like, oh, well, I've got a Command 10 general. Oh, look, they've just popped up there. It's like, it's no, I don't have to order them again. Yeah, they're quite a unique unit, but the army is by inherently, and the problem with the army is that that's how Wood Elves would fight. They would be Waywatchers. It's just like, so the enemy comes to face them or whatever they're trying to do. It's like, and then suddenly some of their guys start dropping because of like arrows, and like they can't even see where it's firing and what's coming from them. Wood Elves just don't fit. I mean, it's even in the fluff that we read in this damn book, is like they don't favor, like they're not going to go after a pitched battle. That's not their MO.
And exactly.
Yeah. So it's like they were always in that sense, like in this unit, which is meant to be their pioneering scouting, like unit by their own standards, is always going to be a very tricky one to how do you represent that in Warmaster, which isn't about shooting. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you were going back like to the depths of time, you probably wouldn't even put them in, would you? Because they're too fussy. They're too different to everything else. And what? It's just like, if you were going to lose an entry, this is probably one of the ones you think, well, why is this one here? But it is here now, so let's embrace it.
Yeah, I guess it is. You would lose this. You would not have this entry because it doesn't fit like into what Warmaster is, I guess, most. It's difficult.
It's trying to do something that isn't really doable in the game. The only other thing that comes near to this is those magic carpets, which you can move around with a djinn, and you can get like 7 attacks and a really short face.
Yeah. It's like,
but these guys bring 4 attacks that hit really hard and hit really accurately. A lot easier and for a lot less points. But they're just a very, very awkward unit. But on the plus side, as you see when you go through this, there aren't many things in this list that aren't viable. So you tend to not have very many of it. Or if you know what I mean, you can't have everything, nowhere near.
No.
You have to really say, I can't fit hardly any of this stuff in.
Yeah, exactly. Like the points soon get added up, you know, like, because they have, we're about to read it off. Another must choose unit, and that soon eats up all your points. So we have Dryads next. They are infantry, 4 attacks, 3 hits, 6 up armor, so orc profile. They are three stands. You know, the rest of the units are the normal stands and stuff. It's at 60 points, and they are minimum 1, no maximum. So, and they have the forest spirit rule, which is our woodland creatures. They are immune to terror and suffer -1 command penalty when being ordered by the general or a noble. So immune to terror is great because that's a very good buff.
Yes. If you're going to pick a buff, that's the buff you pick.
You're going to have a buff. Yeah, exactly. And then you can't be ordered by the general or the noble. Okay, so...
Well, you can, just -1.
Yeah, it's -1. Yeah, so that turns your command 10 general down to a 9. And these are troops you have to have. You're always going to, in a regular game, 2,000 points, you're going to have 2 units of dryads who are not as reliable as other stuff to your general.
Okay, and to the noble. But they're not alone in that. There are 3 other entries, so we'll just discuss them quickly now, which other entries are included in this, and then we'll move on. So you've got your Wild Riders, Treekin, and Tree Man as well. But we won't talk about them individually now. I'm just saying there are 4 entries that are included in with this woodland creature, you think, or whatever it's called. It's Forest Spirit. But it doesn't prevent any your spell weaver and your branch wraith, so they can order as normal, and they're leadership 8, so they're like orc generals. So so the next one along is glade riders. One thing I would say about those orcs is they hit hard.
Yeah,
I mean they're not good in defense, obviously, but they on the charge they sting.
Sting like four attacks on across the frontage is good. So your glade riders, your cavalry, your 3-1, 3-6 for 90 points, no special rules because they're horses.
They're reavers.
And a movement 30 with a range 30 bow. You know, like would access to the light cavalry rules when when they're in play.
Only the easier bit of light cavalry, not the crazy.
Because they're range 30, But they're cool. They're a really good unit. And they, in the list arc I've built, like it is, I'll show you how I'm using them.
But again, it's another viable unit, but it's not cheap. So, I mean, how many of these things can you have? So next one, Wild Riders.
Wild Riders, so you're there, your second cavalry choice. Three attacks, three hits, five up armor, 110 points, and they have the Forest Spirit rule because they might look like elves, but they are like possessed by, as in, no, they are more spirity. And they have this rule five, which is Wild Riders receive plus one attack on the first round of every combat when fighting to the front. So that means they charge for four going to five. So they charge, so they're going to roll, the unit's going to put in 15 dice.
And I think that also means when they're charged to the front, they put in four. Which is no mean thing. That's pretty good.
No,
that's pretty good.
It's no mean thing. And I remember they because they're forest spirits, they can't be terrored. So you know, they're gonna roll 15 dice. You're not gonna affect it that way. Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna roll. No, they're gonna roll 12 dice.
Yeah,
on 12
dice back. Yeah, that's right.
On defense and 15 on attack. Which is a decent amount of attack.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if anything, are they better? They're probably not better than Boar Boys because they're 4-3-5, aren't they? So they get the fourth attack all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
But they're immune to terror. So it's kind of like swings and roundabouts.
Just depends if the enemy's got terror to like put in, isn't it? You know, okay, so your Wild Riders, your Warhawk Riders, monsters, two attacks, one shooting attack, six up armor, 85 points, minimum none, maximum one. And they have Warhawk Riders that can fly because obviously they're eagles. They have a shooting range of only 15, which is normal for that kind of troop type. However, they can shoot from any direction, you know, which is again normal to that troop type. So they're a unit that is repeated in other army lists, like Pterodons.
I've said this joke before, but when people make new lists, they don't ever give them harpies, do they? It's like, no. You might go as low as giant eagles, Dr. Moore, forget about it. But if anybody should have this kind of Warhawk Riders, it probably would else realistically.
Like who else could surf an eagle into battle
while shooting a bow?
Who else could do that? A dwarf? Could he do that?
No. Be too drunk.
So then we have Treekin, infantry, four attacks, four hits, five up armor, 105 points, and they have the Forest Spirit rule. Pretty damn good unit.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So there's something probably going to happen to these because they are Black Orcs that are immune to terror.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
But they're like cheaper than Black Orcs.
Yeah, well, yeah, Black Orcs, you know, Black Orcs. So, Black Orcs got to play the Black Orc tax.
So I think a similar thing happened to Cathay, that these things really are Bull Ogres, aren't they? But Bull Ogres have a negatrait in that they have to charge stuff, and these don't have the negatrait. So they need to move to 110, realistically. And I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. I would vote for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not my proposal. I'm just telling you that's probably where it's going to go because it's an anomaly in the list. But the list is we can't catch everything on the first or even the second run. But three or four passes, you'd hope most glaring issues have been cleaned out.
Exactly. So your Treekin, your monster, your 6-4, 4+ armor, one stand, 130 points. It's got rule 7 as well as the Forest Spirit, which is treeman can enter woods. Because they're a tree, and suffer no command penalty for being in their woods and cannot get defended status there. Treemen cause terror.
Right. So, nearest thing to this.
If a huge, massive oak came to life and started being able to stand on me, I would be terrified. You know?
So, this is probably most akin to something like something out of the Tomb Kings list, maybe?
I mean, you've got a monster that can go into wood.
That's scary.
That other monsters could do that. You know, and it is, it's the only thing in the list that's got 4+ armor, which is fair enough. It's a very interesting piece. Again, you're quite right. You said none of those choices there are not worth taking. As in, like, oh, you'd never fill a list with that unit.
The Treeman isn't a giant because a giant's got more hits.
Yeah,
it's got more attack.
Yeah,
it's got less armor. It's more points, and it's certainly more variable in its. But is this better than a giant? Maybe.
It doesn't have a uncontrollable state, you know, giant table. I don't know. It depends how situational, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't badly hurt it. You're either going to kill it or it's going to get away. So you're not going to ding it up.
Yeah.
But of all the lists, this is probably the one that I'm least leaning towards using, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because if your stuff's immune to terror, which a lot of my army is, then kind of terror, I don't worry about terror on the other side, so I don't really need terror. It's kind of, you need terror to kind of counteract terror, I find.
Okay, yeah.
But your stuff doesn't give a shit. Like, this fighting demons or undead would be a waste of time, wouldn't it, terror?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, but the, yeah. Yeah, I can see exactly what you're saying. But I quite like the idea of it going into a wood so you can, like, goes alongside his other mandatory tree stuff. You know, to, like, present, yeah.
Mm. Like the Ents. The Ents are going to war.
Yeah, basically. You've got three sizes of tree.
Three sizes. Because tree monsters can't go in woods, normally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had to be told, said separately. So, and then we've got four character types. Yeah. Five character types and four mounts.
Here we go. Right. The general is a command 10 general for 155 points. Booyah! Command 10.
So riddle me this. Why is he 155 points?
Is that the points of the other ones?
No. High elf 180. It's the points of the dark elf one, but they've got all the crazy shit rules, haven't they?
No.
I think the reason is that because he can't order the woodland stuff that well.
Yeah.
But then the woodland stuff's all discounted because they can't be ordered that well. So it's like we've got double discount, man. You get a discount here, bonus discount.
All day, every day.
Whatever.
So we get a noble who's a hero, who's 80 points, the command 8 hero. Yeah, no difference there. We get a treeman ancient who's a hero with +3 attacks. He's command 8. He's 130 points.
What?
Yeah, and he's got treeman ancient has a -1 command penalty when issuing orders to other than forest spirit units. So if he tries to order like wood elf units, he's command 7. Can only join forest spirit units and is able to cast a tree singing spell. Units joined by a treeman ancient cause terror. And they can only ever be one treeman ancient in a wood elf army because they're that old, right? And cannot be given any magic items, which makes sense because how would they hold them? You know, like
what other armies have access to a hero? I mean, he's like a Saurus hero, isn't he?
Like a beastman Doomball?
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything, does it? The Doomball.
No, they have terrible command. Yeah,
and I don't think it causes terror. I think it gives him. I think it might give him bloodlust or something stupid. Something. It's like negative as well.
Yeah,
but this guy's a house, but he's just expensive. Like everything in this list.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were playing like a 5,000 point game, you'd probably have everything in.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't find price. I can't find points for this.
No,
as good as he is.
No, he's exactly like he's. Yeah, he's a lot of points, but he's got some interesting collection of unique abilities. But he's
well for a start, he's a hero, so he's as good as a hero as long as he's ordering woodland stuff, whatever tree stuff,
trees.
He gives +3 attacks and terror. That's loads, mate. That's 65 points on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
Without the terror, I think the Saurus is 60 odd points just for the bloody +3 attacks, and he gets to cast a spell. Holy shit. Holy moly.
It's good.
He gets everything with chips.
Yeah. Right, your branch wave. That's a hero who's +2 attacks, command 8. Command 8, and he's got 90 points. She, I guess they're normally she's, branch wraith is -1 command penalty when issuing orders to other than forest spirit units, so she goes to command 7 for that, and can only join forest spirit units and is able to cast the tree singing spell, cannot be given any magic items. So like a mini treatment with the same, you know, it's just not with terror and extra attack. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a discounted treatment, isn't it? You got like discounted one less treatment. Attack. And the terror, and you're saving 40 points.
Yep.
But if you were building some kind of tree-based list, then you could just take the general and all this tree stuff.
Exactly, and then that is why, like this Wood Elf army list as we have it currently has several different builds, and that is one of them. You know, the spell Weaver is a wizard, no attacks, command 8 wizard, 80 points, and they have their spell deck, which we'll talk about now.
One interesting thing just about the branch rate is like heroes don't normally have +2 attacks, do they, at 90 points? It's not...
it's one attack.
Oh, but they're 80 points, aren't they? So yeah, I guess it's points, just like giving them a sword, isn't it?
Sword,
it's
not that big a deal. Yeah.
Right, spell... right, so you want to do the spell list?
Okay, do spell, we can do spells. Right. So the tree singing, the signature spell, 4+ to cast, range 30. Spell can be cast on one additional wooded terrain piece brought by the wood elf player to move up to 2d6 in any direction. A wood elf unit, which as it all stands at least partially in that wood, can be moved along it, but cannot be moved into contact with the enemy. Every single wood may only be affected by the spell once per phase. The wood cannot be moved over any enemy units and terrain features other than a road or a hill. So
I've got to say now, I'm not 100% sure that is that the current wording. Can they only affect the woods that they bring? I thought they could move any wood.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah, like and certainly if you're saying that, oh, you can't use these extra woods in a tournament, that's gonna have to be like I'll have to make sure that's in my tournament pack, like just to be amended that tree singing can affect the woods on the table. It's like there they are.
If there are woods on the table.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that restriction is coming. As a lot of these things, we've inherited a lot of stuff, and to me that doesn't really make that much sense, because you've limited it to they have to buy the pieces of terrain now anyway, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. maybe they won't even have any.
But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Twilight Host.
Twilight Host, range 30, 5 up to cast. A weird enchantment forms around the next target unit and engulfs it. Units cause terror into a wood elf next magic phase. You're not going to be that bothered by it, because you're not worried about like units causing terror, because Rufus in the counter terror.
If you're playing dwarves or something, this is gravy, isn't it? If you can get it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's a way, and it protects wood elves, which, and they don't have the a lot of armor or hits going around for a lot of their troops. So you've got Call of the Hunt, 5 up to cast, range 30. You just make a full pace move into contact with the nearest visible enemy unit in the same way as charging
Paul.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
It's recording. Yeah, it's recording. Yeah. I can see it in my top. Yeah.
I was getting panicky then, because we're like half an hour in.
I've checked it. So yeah, so units make a full pace move into contact with the nearest visible enemy unit in the same way as charging. Enemy units may not shoot at charges.
Oh, this is the one, isn't it?
Yeah,
This is the one.
Yep. It's like, oh, look at that nice artillery brigade you have.
This is the one. So, there are a couple of interesting things about this. Mm-hmm. Was this not the one that they used to have to charge the nearest? Oh, it is the nearest enemy. Okay, so this is the one you have to do all the cheesemongery stuff.
Yeah. This is the way you set up your blinkers, or you turn the unit so it can only see that thing you want it to.
So we need to, we might have some new listeners. You never know. There's some newish players. We need to describe how this shenaniganry works.
Yeah.
So they're aware of it. And if they want to use it, you can use it. And if it comes against you, you at least know. Forewarned is forearmed. So it relies on the fact that irregular formations normally reduce your movement considerably.
Yes.
But with flyers, irregular formations mean you can still move 100 centimeters.
Yes, you can.
And even if you're playing like Revolutions, where it gets reduced to 60 centimeters for the charge, that's still 60 centimeters, a long way.
Yep.
So what you could do is put your middle stand, if I can imagine, your middle stand is here.
Yeah.
And then facing forwards at the thing you want to charge.
Yep.
And then you put the other two stands either side, corner to corner, facing backwards.
Yep.
So they can't see.
Yep.
And then you've created like a beam weapon that points directly where you want to charge.
Oh, I see. Because so the other stands are offset forward. Yeah, got it.
So they're blocking your line of sight and making a tunnel. And they're facing backwards, so they're looking away.
I mean, that does sound like something you would do, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's because you're allowed to move normally as a flyer.
Yeah, it's not something I would do, because that isn't really in the spirit of it. But it's something you would do, isn't it, Barry?
What do you want me to do, sir? It's in the rules.
So what do you want me to do? It's like, I'm allowed to do it.
If it means that could be the game-winning manoeuvre, quite easily, if it gets into...
it's not something I would do.
If it took an artillery brigade out, because 4 break on an artillery brigade is a lot.
Yes, it is, yeah. And if the game is being dictated by the artillery brigade, that would be legitimately a thing to do.
Because what in the olden days, what used to happen is you used to fly unit flyers behind something, they'd fail their order, they couldn't do shit because they couldn't, there was no half-pace moves, and then they would get initiative charged in the arse and all die anyway.
Boom. Yep.
So when you're brought up with that kind of hard gruel...
I mean, you could still do that by just over giving them too many targets. So
not anymore.
You could say you had 2 units of flyers, then you put one behind, one in front. They can only shoot one.
Well, they could just shoot half to the front, half to the back, and hope to do some damage.
That would be risky. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, you're right.
But your blinkers tactic is a very Barry thing.
Grim, innit? Grim.
Did you invent that, or did somebody else invent that?
No, I think I took inspiration from that Bretonian player.
So you invented it then? Your tactic you're talking about there.
No, he did that crazy thing, didn't he? He deliberately got himself pushed off the table and then came back on. And charged what pushed him off the table in the flank. Grim.
Oh, that's really not what is going to happen. I love this loophole. Right, fine. To finish off the Widow of Spells, Fury of the Forest, 6 up to cast, range 60. The spell makes 3 shooting attacks at all enemy units within 10 centimeters of a chosen wooded terrain piece. Units get no armor save if within wooded terrain. If you're within it, if you're with it. Unengaged units are not driven back by this spell. The assault comes from the ground beneath their feet. Engaged units carry any hits over to the first round of combat, so it's a combat buff. Any hit scores that have been struck in the combat itself. So this is obviously a great spell if there's woods on the table.
And if you're playing like next level 3D chess.
Yeah.
And you tree-sing a wood under all this stuff. And then Ring of Magic, this forest.
This thing. Fury, just... It's like, bang.
While you're in combat with them. Because it probably doesn't even hurt your stuff, does
it? No, it doesn't. All enemy units. Because the wood, flying wood knows. You know, it swerves out the way of the wood elves. Yep.
So imagine that. If you could get engaged and then push the terrain under them and then blow them up.
Then blow them up. It's like A-bomb launch detected.
While your stuff's just sitting there laughing.
Laughing, going, oh, it's great to be a wood elf.
Glorious. So one story about the tree singing. I remember playing Jim when we were doing some testing, and he had quite a lot of wizards, and I had an artillery brigade, and he moved woods to create like a triangle around my artillery so it couldn't see.
Brilliant.
I was like, what am I supposed to do with this artillery now? I'm not even sure it's allowed in the woods.
No, it's not. Just stuck in. That's brilliant.
Inside a clearing in the woods.
That's brilliant. Right, it's the art of fighting without fighting, isn't it? It's just like, okay, I've sorted you out. I'll come back and kill you later when I feel
didn't
like
bother,
it.
Did he?
No, it's like you don't need to. It's just like, just give it up. It's like, you're stuck now.
Bastards.
There's so much the Wood Elves, which is just janky. It's hilarious. Right. Okay, so we go to the mounts, they're not shy on a few. Right, okay. We've got a giant stag, which is a special mount, +1 attack, 10 points, and it has the rule of giant stag. Generals, nobles, and spellweavers can ride this thing, a +1 attack for those riders. Fine, cool.
Okay, so...
It's
just like a chariot without wheels.
But it also gives you a double buff, doesn't it? Like, as in, put a stag, put a spell item. Then you've got a unicorn, a special mount, +1 attack, 15 points. It's going to be ridden by spell weavers only. Unicorn add +1 attack to those riders. And once per battle, unicorns magic players add +1 to the dice roll when casting a spell. You've got to nominate that before you roll, obviously. It's the same in Bretonians.
But this again, is like one of the things where you've got, like, you've got two 10-point magic items, and you stick them together and call it 15. You go, hang on, it was 20 points when they were separate and you were only allowed one. Now you get both. It's 15. Whatever.
We get a warhawk, a monstrous mount, +1 attack, 15 points. Generals, nobles, and spellwivers may ride a warhawk. Warhawk can fly, increase its riders from 60 to 100, and adds +1 attack to those of its rider. There you go. Yeah, it's not bad. 15 points for a +1 attack and a fly. And then Forest Dragon, monstrous mount, +3 attacks, 100 points. And he has generals, nobles, and spellwizards may ride Forest Dragon, can fly, adds 3 attacks. Unit joined by the Forest Dragon causes terror, and it's got a shooting attack, which is range 20, and 3 attacks worked out in the usual way, which is, again, a copy and paste job from a dragon of something else.
What else? It's a high elf dragon.
So it's something that already exists.
And I think the warhawk is a giant eagle, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly the same rules. Yeah. So,
I mean, what can he say?
Pixies. That's what you can say.
Honest to God, I don't want to harp on about Facebook too much, but Facebook isn't good for your health. And like having to constantly see people whinge about how underpowered this army is. It's like, come on, man. Come on.
You're not seeing it. Oh,
come on, just try harder. Come on. What more do you want?
Is that meme? I don't know what it's from. Of like these like medieval guys like walking close to a wood and then one of them getting filled by 100 arrows. And it's like, boom. It's like, that's wood elves.
Like, seriously, you just get good or whatever they say. Yeah, I mean, if you can't win with this fucking list, you've got a million different lists you can build. Yeah. You've got every tool you could possibly want, apart from maybe Raise Dead or something.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, it's like one of the points, questions we're going to, or things we might get a chance to field is like people saying the spells are no good.
Whatever. Like... Whatever. I just told you how I lost the game because somebody boxed me in with woods. I've told you how to win a game just with one spell.
With one spell. I mean, what more do you want?
Like, I don't know. It's like they've got shooting, they've got good medium infantry, they've got good heavy infantry, they've got good cavalry, they've got the best flyers. I mean, I don't know what else you want, man. You've got four mounts.
Probably to win the game on the first roll of
just
the dice.
Win without playing. Like, just shake hands. It's like the old warm thing, isn't it? You just... Oh, Purple Sun, right? Good game. Purple Sun, good game.
That's 40k right now.
Probably is. But some people won that experience.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
We rolled off and I lost.
Not me. Right. Okay. So we move on from that. We've got lists to do.
Yes, we do. It'll be interesting to see what you come up with and what I come up with.
I think mine's pretty similar to what Janice did.
If this recording lasts 40 minutes, then it's about to drop, isn't it? You don't get any idea on how long it's going to.
Well, that's why I was worried because it wasn't warning me. So it's either A, it's just going to roll, or B, it's already dropped.
No. I mean, I've still got recording on my screen.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? We're British, you know.
So we'll share Paul's list. Paul's list, what you got, Paul?
So, okay, there is method in my madness with this. Basically... this list is basically...
Paul likes a bit of everything. He likes mayonnaise and ketchup.
So it's inspired by a range of models from Forest Dragon, which are beautiful. It is Forest Dragon's best range in my mind, for what I see. Like, what the guy has managed to do with these models, is just unbelievable. Like, personally. So those models are so nice that when I get round to fielding this army, like painting it up, like I'd want to include as much of a range of them as I could possibly, which you still can't take everything. Like, I don't have a dragon. I don't have a Treeman Ancient. Like, they're gorgeous, honestly.
You don't have Branch Wraiths?
I do have one. Don't know.
No,
No. Oh, that's an error. But like,
well, you just can't fit everything in. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to take four Glade Guard and two Dryads and a general. You're already in 500-600.
Yeah. So the idea I have I've played Wood Elves before is that you've got to take some trees and you've got to take some living troops. I'm going to go down more of the living troops route. So I'm going to have a brigade of forest stuff, which that means I only have to throw one order at it to be effective. And that's kind of like my barrier that, like, hopefully is the best chance I've got is like of an infantry block of stopping said enemy or taking something I've got to do on the table. I am playing more heavily towards there, a dispersed army, a lot of range firepower and a lot of characters then to keep that army in check. It'll be spread out. Basically, you use the entire table. You'll have a lot of maybe single single units on their own, to take the table out, in terms of that sense.
You're approaching a quarter of your army in characters with no terror.
Yeah. So it's it won't have an answer to everything, but this is what I've come up with. It's got 6 units of Glade Guards, so that's 6 missile troops, 2 units of Turner Guard who have War Dancers, so which obviously, you know, I'm assuming I'm not trading them in for Woods because it's playing at a tournament. Then 2 units of Waywatchers because they are fantastic and they are probably going to be my best thing in my army list. You've got to take the 2 Dryads, so they're there. 2 units of Glade Guards, now they've got a movement of 30 and then a range of 30 shots, and they are going to be perfect for adding even more firepower where I need to get it. 2 units of Wild Riders because again more missile troops like close in, and there's always room for have, you know, units of flyers. One unit of flyers. Now the 2 Wild Riders are your counterpunch, as in terms of they'll be close to the general. They just where missile troops isn't working well enough, or it's like there's too much of the enemy for them to drive them back and do enough. That's where that's my counterpunch in the.
I've got to say, Paul, there isn't an awful lot that would like to get itself on the battlefield, not in terrain.
No, exactly. But that's,
if you were facing 6 units of cold ones, dark elf cold ones, I'm not sure you'd have much in the middle of the park trying to fight it off.
No,
maybe shoot them off.
No, exactly. But this is how. This is how I play Wood Elves. It's like, but that's interesting because I'm guessing your list is quite different. So it's like, this is how we're like talking about. I've stuck a treeman in there. He goes, and a unit of treeman and treekin, they go with the dryads. That makes a brigade, and that's the heavy brigade I've got. A general, the Sword of Fate is just there to add up points. A noble and a warhawk with a Sword of Might. 2 spell weavers using a range of magical items. Yeah, exactly. I think it would play more in my head what I think Wood Elves would play in this way. Wood plays, they wouldn't even be on the table, would they? But like Wood plays, like I'm going heavily in this route.
I love the Paulism, which is Sword of Fate on the general. I mean, the Sword of Fate could have gone anywhere, could have gone into the Eternal Guards, could have gone into the Dryads, Wild Riders, or whatever, maybe, I don't know, Glade Guard, whatever. Get on the general, mate.
Yeah, general. Because the general model could be this really good, like, looking like the King of the Wood Elves, like that kind of beastie, like, I can't remember what he's called, Lord of the Wild Hunt kind of thing. And then he would represent him. Yeah, it does. So it was an oversight of me. It's branch wave. That's a bit of a mistake. So I might replace one of the spell weavers with a branch wave.
On the fly,
and then drop an item off. Drop that.
Wand of power.
Yeah, there, get rid of that.
Well, you could get rid of the Sword of Might, and then you'd have room for the proper a little sword on him. Wand of power, and if we got rid of the Sword of Might and the Sword of Fate, and give the noble a Sword of Fate, and that should balance.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
There we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, you've got spell where you've got too many items, and the branch wave can't have any. God damn, it's a bit of the fussiness with this list because lots of stuff can't have items, can it?
Well, just drop the Wand of Power off. That's not yet. It's like compare those two. You need a scroll of the spelling with such brittle units. You need a scroll of the spelling in there just to protect them.
Well, that's not like you, is it? Normally, you're dead. He's got his sword back as well, hasn't he?
Yeah,
big boy.
Yeah, here we go.
Right, good. I do love. I've got. I try and pick up Dave, Warmonger Dave, anytime I can. But this app is still the go-to app. It's fantastic.
You don't need to improve on it. It's great. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I love the fact now that you can press this save button, and it gives you this, which you can then share, and it kind of drags it back up, and you can log in and all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, maybe not the best Wood Elf list out there, but I've no doubt, because I'm sure some people would take 4 units of Wild Riders. Over to you, Barry.
So the good thing about this is anybody selling a range of Wood Elves would be happy to build the pool list, get a lot of variety out there.
Yep.
Spread the love.
So the Tree Man and the Tree Man Ancient are subtle differences. The only thing that isn't in that list is a Forest Dragon.
I'm paranoid about not recording. We are recording, aren't we?
We are recording. I can see it.
It's because when I'm sharing screen, I can't see it. So it's God damn it.
That's the first thing I look at. I'll tell you if you're not.
Yeah, you do that. Right, now we've got to try and get this thing to... There we go. Right, and then we go to mine. F11. Right, share this bugger. I mean, I've got to say, I mean, this is as close to Janice's list as I could remember. And me and Janice have a similar philosophy on maximizing your strengths and minimizing your weaknesses.
Yes, yeah.
Just the way we play. It's kind of a bit. It's a bit like a chef who's reducing the sauce down to a jus.
Look how short your army list is compared.
Boom! Get out of here!
Amazing. Right. Okay.
So I said there was a bit bloated. There's a lot of entries in that list.
I don't want any of those choices. Now tell me what I've got.
You got your minimum 4 Glade Guard.
I don't even want to take them.
I wouldn't if they weren't in there. But and two Dryads. So that's your minimum. And your general.
Yep.
And then we went for an extra 4 Dryads because they're good.
Yeah.
They're hitty as hell. And if you can get them in a wood, nobody's digging them out of a wood.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's. And then, so how they're going to be brigaded up is probably 2 columns of 3 Dryads with a Glade Guard on the front, and then 2 Glade Guards just causing havoc from woods, just shooting shit.
Yep.
So I mean, it's people set up that brigade quite often with a shooting on the front and 3, but I mean, this is a relatively cheap. It's quite hitty. The Glade Guard do a reasonable amount of shooting on the way in, and then they can just die or whatever.
Yeah,
we just don't give way, or they might be reasonable anyway. So the real meat of the list is further down. So you've got 4 Wild Riders. That's what Janice had. Lots of armies have lots of cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember a Triwiz army. Did they have 8 boar boys?
Did you?
And yeah. 2 dragons?
Something like 2 wivens, yeah.
So, I mean, as much as I like your list of everything, you ain't going to be able to play very much. No. Because if you come out of the wood, you're going to get absolutely stomped.
Uh-oh.
So my 2 little wild riders are just trying to say, So, I'm not even sure 4 cavalry is enough, but that's all I can afford.
It's all you could take is 4 units of Wild Riders.
Well, you could have had some Glade Riders, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But I tend to find shooting, unless you go like mad shooting or you've got artillery, it tends to kind of underwhelm, especially if you're playing undead or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Demons and they've got swarm and they have the shit if you're blowing swarm, whatever, shoot them all day.
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. Or Skaven have got the same thing, haven't they? You can just shoot them forever. It doesn't matter. I'm sure they've got whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Better shooting them than me. So, and then you've got Treekin, who are like, I think this list won't be valid in a long because they're going to get more expensive. So you've got to find another 20 points somewhere. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah,
But they're good. They're the beginning of heavy infantry, aren't they? And I'd rather have these than like dwarf warriors because these can hit hard.
Yeah, these can hit. Mm-hmm.
They obviously, with the 5 up armor, it means they don't hang around that long, but they can't be terrified. And you can make them terrifying and they hit hard.
Yeah.
Especially in column, because that would be a brigade in column. Oof. Oof. That can go in terrain as well. And then we got the general, who obviously the general is going to struggle. Ordering quite a lot of stuff.
The things of the army, but never mind.
but worst case scenario, he's still command 9, and command 9 is not nothing. That's what most people have.
Yeah, exactly. That's as good as it gets normally.
And you're paying a bit of a premium for a command giant general because it's 125 points normally, so you're paying 30 points more. But we've got discounts in our troops.
Yeah.
To cover that 30 points. So net, we're probably still making money.
Yep.
Still quids in. Well, probably aren't, because 6 units of Dryads, so 5 points.
I agree with you.
70 points.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm gonna build a brigade where I suppose you could order the Warhawk Riders for 10. There you go.
There you go. And,
yeah.
And the Glade Guard if they're in their own, but they won't. And then the Spellweavers can order everything at command 8.
Yep.
So whatever. I might even give it a Spellweaver a sword. I should have done what you did, didn't I? Where should I put this? There's not many places the sword can go.
Put it on the general.
Yeah. There he goes. He's on his elk.
He's on his elk.
With a lovely sword. And then the only... I haven't got any money left. The bank's empty, but I had to find the Ring of Magic, obviously.
Yep.
For the cheese... If the person that you're playing against doesn't have a dispel scroll and does have artillery,
they're dead. zap.
So, I mean, Paul did take a dispel scroll.
Yeah.
But I mean, lots of people do go into battle without one. I mean, in most armies that don't have a good spell, I'll take it to spell scroll and I won't take a ring of magic.
Yeah.
My break's 10. I think your break was 11.
Yes, it was, yeah.
But there was only one unit difference. Mm-hmm. I think you had 21, I had 20.
That's right.
And this is, I'm pretty sure this was Janice's list.
Yeah, I mean, that list is, your list is filthy. You're like, it's just like, look at it. Oh my God. You know, like, oh, just like, you know, and in terms of like, if you were like selling that to somebody as well, it's just like, don't you want to use this nice range? No, I don't actually. No. You're like,
give me the good stuff.
Give me the good stuff. I'm like a crack addict. Come on, man. Give me some more.
I'm jonesing, man.
I'm jonesing. Give me some of that. I'm like, right. Okay. Very funny. So back to our little like planner. Tier level. Now we scored it at tier level one, which it clearly is.
What do you want from me? There are three elf lists and they're all tier one. One elf list might be slightly better than another, but
yeah.
They're just better than everybody else, aren't they?
They are.
Everything.
Yeah. So like comparing and what company they have is the three elf lists. We've put Lizardmen as tier one as well.
No, I think they get one. Maybe one and a half.
Yeah. But it's yeah. We put dwarves as 1.5. There you go. Would you have said we put Lizardmen as 1.5 in there?
Maybe.
Put Araby's 1.5.
No, that was because Ian was so adamant that the elephants are conquering all.
All right, okay.
Because they are pretty good, the elephants. There's not much stands up to those elephants.
All right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
they cause terror, don't they? It's like...
They're good at killing Skaven elephants.
Good at killing everything. I mean, when you consider like Rhinox riders are 220 points and they'll just get run over by elephants.
All right. Well, anyway.
We need to do the actual tier list and it'll be ranked from 23rd.
Yeah.
Dogs of War.
Yeah.
Or witch elves or something. Or what they call witch hunters. To number one.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting thing to do.
That'd be a good episode, actually, for us just to batter away through that.
What, to decide which of the three elves are at the top?
Which one do we say is the best?
Which is two and which is three?
It's just two, like, choose your elf flavour. Like,
goddamn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people might say they're not tier one, whatever. But what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want? So, what next up to the event? Do you want to do what questions you've got? Then we got event update and then...
I've got questions from two sources.
Have to be quick. There might be blunt answers.
I'll pull up the best ones.
While you do that, I'll just try and talk about some of the bits we've got to get out of the way later on. So contact details, you get us on Facebook. Yep. Well, you get Paul on Facebook. You won't get me, but you get Paul. Mm-hmm. I use it as little as possible, but I do have to use it occasionally. So if you Facebook message, it will get through. And warmaster.podcast@gmail.com. The back catalogue, apart from the latest four episodes, is hosted at Blackgate Miniatures because I've got to pay for that. So I might as well use it while it still exists. And then we've got an event update to do after you do these questions.
Yes. So I won't go through names, because it just saved time. But it's like, if you listen out for your question, if you put it on there. If an objective is placed in and the wood is magically moved, does it stay where it is or move with the wood?
It's got to stay where it is.
This happened to me in a tournament and it felt very gamey.
The objective has got to stay where it is.
It's got to stay where it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The wood has moved, not
the
objective.
The wood has moved, not the objective. The objective is like, exactly. So apologies if that ended up happening to you and that shouldn't have done, because that shouldn't have done.
What did you say? The objective moved?
No, I say no, the objective stays still. I can't recall ever having to rule this as a rules query. But if I made the mistake at the time, apologies. So somebody says the wood elf spells are trash.
I'd have to look at them again. I'm not sure they're all tier one, but the tree singing is cheap and it's effective. It does do stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very little in the game that can move entire brigades of your shit around the table without it under order.
So here's a sub point to a question. Is the simple counter to wood elves is artillery, and wood elves have no answer but suicidal charges. Okay.
I think we've covered that one.
Yeah, well, I think we covered that.
I think I'd rather face them with this spell I mean, you don't even need to do that bullshit if you don't want. You can just do the same thing that lizard men do, and you just fly over the back of them and then just cast a spell and they go into the back of them.
Is the forest spirit rule really worth it? And wouldn't dropping the Wood Elf General to command 9, they're always a bit wild, and losing the command penalty with the forest spirit rule not be a better solution?
If you want to drop it to 9, I'd be more than happy. I'd be happy to drop them all to 9.
Yep. Should fireballs do double damage against wood elves? I
think yes. And no regeneration.
And 100%.
Not wood elves, though. Not only the stuff made of wood.
Ian.
Hang on. Oh, you can't, not the elves. They're made of meat. No. Yeah, but like the trees.
The trees should definitely burn well. Yeah, yeah.
So but I don't think it did. What did it? It did say in the old fashioned.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
It just said no
yeah.
regeneration. Well, yeah. What regeneration? There's no regeneration in the game.
No, they had a save that was like how it was built in. Right. Okay. Right. So somebody has said that our Wood Elf list created by an alternative Wood Elf list created by Ian Standing. Could we discuss that? I'm afraid that would be quite a big, and that would be like another whole podcast, actually.
Listen, I've got to be honest with you, world. I can't stomach rebuilding another Wood Elf list. Yeah. I think this list has got plenty going on for it. If anything, it's too big. You've got too much variety. If you can't find a list that wins out of this, then try harder.
Yeah. Why are they even an army option? They seem to break the design principle of keeping armies generic.
Correct.
Yeah.
But they were. You've got to remember that when we started this project, they existed. So what do you call it? Like the prime directive.
Yeah.
The prime directive was do not get rid of armies that people own, because that's horrible.
Yeah.
When like GW suddenly say there are no more Bretonians.
Yeah.
So we said that's not going to happen. You're not going to have, you might not necessarily have like the Dwarf Engineers Guild, because you can still play dwarves, but forget about your flying balloons and stuff.
Okay. Are war dancers any good? Yes.
Yes, I think so. Are Empire skirmishes any good?
Yes, they are.
There you go. Things are better.
This is the good one. Right. After he rages on about how much he hates the Wood Elves, tell him to stop sugarcoating it and tell your listeners what he really thinks. Looking forward to the episode in particular and to the foretold power rankings of the armies.
There you go. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. I predict Wood Elves will be number 3 or around there.
Right, so that was on Facebook and on the WhatsApp group for the LG22. Why is there a perception that that they are overpowered? We've not seen them winning every tournament.
Play against the Magannas.
Well,
play Janus with anything, to be fair. But sometimes you feel you're in a game, and sometimes you feel like he's playing a different game.
It's a good one. Is the War Dancer / Tree rule good for you? Good or useful? Given it was banned at the LGT, personally, that was my choice as a tournament organizer because it just doesn't. Yeah. So, in that sense, I guess I would say it's not a good rule. I would not think.
No, I think. But the perfect rule would be get rid of the bloody free woods.
Yeah.
Because we're not. They're not a defensive army. They have to do everything everybody else has to do. They can't just sit in woods. Because we've got to make them play in tournaments where they've got to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these points are basically we've already answered.
So what I would say is get rid of the free woods. You can still have them as skirmish stands. They're pretty good at that job.
I'm just looking for if there's any other different questions here. I'm just
sorry if we've gone through them a bit quickly.
Some of these are repeated, like basically we answered them.
I'll repeat the answer then.
So are they at a disadvantage if playing on a board with no trees?
Probably.
Yeah. They are.
You could have other terrain.
They are getting buffs, like, as in you don't get problems being in a wood. And if it are,
but the difference between Paul's got a bit wonky. The difference between woods and villages is only minor. I mean, you might still get your negative to command if you consider it dense terrain that's not woods, but you get all the other buffs. They just need terrain, I think. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got woods, use hills, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and my standardization of what I like to see in terrain in a tournament, kind of like, it should always be some woods.
And if you can't find hills, find fields. And if you can't find fields, find walls to stand behind. But the answer is, don't ever get, especially with Paul's list, don't get caught in the open.
Because you're dead. Right. If a treeman blunders in a forest and no one is there to see it, does he really blunder? Okay, this one's a good one. What changes would you, and it does mean you, make in the current list to make it more in line with your thinking?
My thinking. It's Rick's thinking was to try and keep it simple and to have standardization and as minimum. I mean, you just look at, I keep going on about high elves, but look at the high elves. They're super, super competitive still. Mm-hmm. They've been toned down multiple times and they're still super competitive. And they've got an absolutely tiny list to choose from.
Yeah,
and they don't even need all those entries. You can win with four entries. You can win with a couple of archers you have to take, a load of bloody spearmen, a load of silver helms, and some eagles.
Yep.
And that's it, and your characters.
Barry, how many wood elves need to be slain to satisfy the Damas Cron, which is the Book of Grudges?
All of them, obviously.
All of them, basically.
All of
them. Entire race.
Oh,
right. Even the little ones that have only just been born.
You could leave a non-breeding pair, so two males.
Right, that's it. Okay.
Non-breeding pair of males.
A bit hard. Right, okay. Like, that's any other questions? One sec. These are like sub-points. No, I think it's all the questions.
Good. Yeah. Right, we can move on to the important stuff, because we've got 10 minutes, and you're going to tell us all about the events.
Yes, let me
especially
just...
the Portland one.
Yes, oh no, say. that's what I'm talking... That's what I'm... Now, I put the details to you, so I'm just bringing them up. Going back in our like thread here to get them.
I mean, Paul's much more prepared than this in A&E.
Shut
if
up,
he turned
up,
he's
shut
like
up.
on it.
Shut up. Don't be such a Debbie Downer, man.
On it. Like, Listen, I've had enough of Boris's boosting, mate. I can't handle it. He's like a hyperactive kid. You just want to give him a fucking backhander.
Yeah.
Just shut up, Boris. You fucking muppet.
Here it is. Here we go. Right. Tell a joke anyway, Barry. Right.
I just did about Boris.
So, Portland...
I didn't vote for him. I 100% swore it. None of this is my fault.
So, on Saturday the 12th of February, the Portland Warmaster Tournament 2022 is being played. That is in Beaverton, Oregon. So
that sounds great, Beaverton.
At a place called Gongay with G-O-N-G-A-I-I Games. So, that's the venue.
Cool.
Which is in... Beaverton. It is the details of it. It's going to be a Warmaster Revolution tournament using all the optional rules. That's exactly the same for me. We will not be permitting Wood Elves to use the extra woods. So, and it's a 1,000-point army list. So, 1,000-point. Yeah.
So, get the Stegan out.
So, but
he's,
I mean,
a wrecking machine.
I think it sounds like their first go in a tournament.
I'm going with the Lizardman play with the Stegan on because nothing's stopping him at 1,000 points.
Prizes for best general, best table, best army in appearance. It's all lovely.
Giants do well at that as well. 1,000 points.
And the venue is an independent game, you saw, and a comfortable place to play. It's got free parking on site. Three games in the single day event. They're all going to be the first game is pitch battle. Second and third will be random scenarios, which will be nice. Look at this. Right, games will be any one player concedes, one army withdraws, even loss of general, reaching his breakpoint, and games that's going to be 75 minutes on chess clock, including deployment. There you go.
75 minutes.
On a chess
for the whole thing, not for each player.
That doesn't actually say.
That sounds like a long time for a 1,000-point game each. Yeah. But loving it.
And then I love the fact
that he actually put, it's very American, but they put when one player concedes, because it's just if you're not having fun, off you go. I'm going to go get a drink.
So I just, the message from the guy, Andrew, is it's Merry Christmas to us, for us. We are putting on our first tournament, February the 12th, 2022. And we have mentioned it on your podcast. And this is lovely. You're enormously influential and we would really appreciate the boost. Let me know either way, but in case, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Andrew. Thank you very much. I do find it still amazing that actually anyone listens to us.
That's right.
You know, like,
especially you. Anybody
especially
you.
And my wife is agreeing with me over there right now.
Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon. Yeah, Oregon.
Okay. Brilliant. Hopefully it goes well, fellas. And,
the thought that there's someone in America who's listening to us, two nobodies from England, Chelmsford, England, and then they're putting on their first Warmaster event. They've really enjoyed listening to us, and they're using a lot of ideas of ours, etc. in it. Doesn't that warm your heart, Barry?
It does.
The cold coal of your heart.
The cold northern heart.
Occasional flare of embers in there.
I mean, that's the only thing that keeps me sane. I've got a brother in Boston, and when everything's bad for me, I speak to him, and it's like, fucking hell, we've got it easy. yeah. You are living in a fucking nuts house, mate.
Yep, right. Anyway, but yeah.
Anyway, good luck,
so,
Portland.
So if you are in Portland, that area, I mean, country's massive, but yeah, go along, play some Warmaster.
Yeah.
Speaking, speaking back to us, I'll do a proper like update on the LGT of us. You know, and that
sold out anyway, isn't it? Sold out. Sold
tickets
out.
Go live on the 28th of January.
Oh, there you go. Not sold out. Not sold.
No, not gone on sale yet.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because every event I keep. Because I'm not on Facebook. By the time I hear about them, they're fucking sold out.
Yeah, well, I try to keep you up to date.
Well, you didn't, did you?
Yeah, it's like it's a full-time job.
But you didn't keep me up to date, did you? Anyway, whatever. I'm supposed to be doing some filming, so hopefully that works.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get a better view of the table.
We will definitely get over 32, so it makes it to a six-round event. I don't know if we'll get 64, but getting over 32 means it's bigger than it was, and that's all. And that's a success, and that's a win.
That's success in itself, isn't it?
Success in itself, yeah. Because on this WhatsApp group for interested players, there's well over 32. It's into the 50s. Yeah.
So, I have to own up. I mean, it wasn't a raid leave the group, but I it was on mute anyway, and there was like thousands of posts. It's like, I ain't ever going to read all these.
No, I mean, like, yeah.
Groups get out of hand so quickly. Like a full-time job reading them.
But you don't like enthusiasm, do you?
But did you? Could you read many of these groups, not just one or two? Many, you started another one. I saw you started another one for Pike and Shot. It's like Jesus wept.
But how else are you going to talk to Mike White then?
I don't know. But seriously, man, how much of your day do you spend on these groups?
Not much. Yeah, it's not much. What are you talking about?
Maybe if it was like hardwired in, so you didn't have to own the phone. It was just like implanted in.
Communication is good, Barry, in whatever form. It's fine.
Whatever form.
It's fine. Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Communication is vital. It is vital.
Exactly. Like so, the more we talk, the better it is.
So is that the Scottish event that's been announced, or the Triwizards has been announced? But well, sold out?
I mean, yeah, it was sold out the day it was announced.
It was sold out.
I mean, yeah, like most of the sales did before they even went on sale. Like, the Scottish one hasn't announced yet. Yeah, hasn't declared.
That's a declared. Well, they're in different rules, aren't they? Maybe they're not allowed. Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, like poor them. Like,
poor us, poor everybody. Well, hopefully this is the last of it this year. We start this year. Hopefully we go out of this year, and then it's the end. And then 2023, we can actually start planning something proper.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, look at us right now. Like, if we were going to. If we were going to have some impactful restrictions in England right now, they would be in place right now. Like,
I'm not worried about us, am I? I'm worried about the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Novak
exactly.
Djokovic turned up to back in Australia. He's in a hotel now.
That's amazing.
And his only choice is go back home, mate.
So like two things. Like, A, like, he's in the business of winning these events, yeah, and getting the most and being the GOAT. Why doesn't he just take the vaccine? Maybe he's against it. B, if he's not going to take the vaccine, why didn't he just turn up to Australia and do the quarantine? Like,
he's into all that kind of faith healing stuff, and he could purify water by the power of thought and shit.
Well, whatever, but it's like,
purify the vaccine, like, and stick it in here, mate.
What he's known for is winning majors, and he's got to win enough majors to be considered the greatest ever. So he's just got to ignore. He's got to do what he needs to do to play in it.
Exactly. Don't look for moral guidance from tennis players or fucking footballers and stuff. Come on, man.
It's like they are. I mean, to be an international sportsman, you have to be a very strange, like. Driven.
You don't have to be intelligent, do you?
No. But it's like you have to be completely dedicated to it, don't you? And that's all. That's what you know. If you want to talk about tennis, you know, obviously he can probably gives you a good conversation.
I think the problem is even if he gets more titles, he'll never be Roger Federer, will he? Because he was like the guy everybody loved, like uncle.
Well, I mean, obviously Novak does have a following, but I don't know in terms of. I think it's just, it simply comes down to numbers of majors, doesn't it?
Not like, for me, sir. But
no, as in to be considered who's the greatest ever.
Well, if you want, yeah. But would you rather go for a drink with him or? What's his face?
Nadal?
No, not Nadal. I've forgotten the guy. I just said
Federer.
Him a minute ago.
Federer.
Yeah.
Oh, Federer. Every
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah.
He's
like super cool, isn't he? Super cool. But anyway, whatever. Yeah. We've done it. We got it recorded. I've got 3 minutes before Attack on Titan.
Cool.
I have to get set up. So that's all good news. Sweet. Next one is going to be the big one.
Oh, what? The power ranking?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And then if we manage to get that done, the one after that will be the...
So when we record that, like, on the, like, we'll have a clean slate and we're going, right, what's the worst army? Go. And like, and we agree to it.
We'll have to be typing it in so we can see the running leaderboard.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'll do it like that. We'll just leave it like, we'll do it. And yeah, you know, we'll have to obviously at times agree, okay, we're going to go with that one because, you know, it's to make it run.
Oh, you're not having your own one?
Don't you think? No, I thought we could just do it both together at once.
Oh, Jesus wept. That's even worse.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I might pen like where I pen them all down so I don't forget any army. But no, I think that'd be quite fun how to do it.
Because if
you say all these things and I say these things and they don't match up, then it's like it's going to be a case of like, right, what's the army that's in 18th, like from 19th? But state your Harry, what do you think? Well, I think
Dogs of War got grade 2. I don't know how
they shouldn't have done. Like,
it was a long time ago.
A long time, yeah. It'll be funny. And like, and then we can compare it at the end to Ian Standing's.
Like, oh, he's done
a power rank.
Oh, it's going to be the elves at the top. Of course it is. Come on now.
It'll be interesting to see his one comparison.
Come on now. Like, Come on then. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we'll do that. And then the one after that will be the 2022 rules update, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And also there's got to be... When also by that point we'll have finalized the rules pack for LG22. So the Winter Roller 2022 will be in existence, and it will be these are the scenarios and how
it's just it's become LG now. What's that?
What? LG.
You said LG. I thought it was LGBQT.
No, LGT, London
Grand. LGT, right.
Yeah. You make up the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Brings me joy. Yeah. Makes me laugh. Well, so thanks a lot, Paul.
Yeah, good episode.
Time's up. Have a good one. Hopefully, I can dig this recording out because it looks like it's not converted. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you can fix it.
I've got nothing else to do. I'll sort it out.
Exactly.
Right. See you later.
Cheers.
Would you like to know more?